there is a question that was asked many years ago that I would like to answer today on this Moments with the Book broadcast. It is found in the book of Job, chapter 25 and verse 4. The question is this: how then can man be justified with God? This is a question of vital importance, and one which every man, woman, and child will have to answer. It is one that we should be deeply concerned about, because it concerns the salvation of our souls. It is not just simply a question in regards to our relationship with men. It is not whether we are right towards man or not. The question is one that concerns our relationship to God, and it would ask us if we are right with God. And if not, and none of us are by nature, and yet if we are to be saved, we must be, how can a man be justified with God? Now, to begin with, Romans tells us that it is God that justifies. He is the one who has the answer, for he alone can do the work. To be justified by man is impossible, because justification implies putting one who has been proven guilty in a position of not guilty. We may forgive someone that is proven guilty, but we can certainly never say to one, "You're not guilty." But God can, and God does. Now, how he does this, we have recorded for us in his word. We turn to the only authoritative source, the only answer to this question, how can a man be justified with God? It's the word of God that we have in our hands that gives us the answer. And first of all, I would ask you to turn with me to a parable of the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 18, where he answers this question in parable form. From verses 9 to 14, we have the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. And in this parable, the Lord himself is the infallible judge. He is the one who declares who is justified and who is not. And in the simple parable before us, we see very clearly how we are not justified and also how we are justified. He spake this parable to certain who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. The Pharisees were religious. They were self-righteous. They were seeking to present to God something for their acceptance, and all the time ignoring what God had said about them. God had always declared in his word that man's heart was deceitful above all things and incurably wicked. God had always decreed that there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And yet the Pharisee is one who would seek to ignore God's estimate and cling to his own thoughts and opinions. The Lord Jesus said also about the Pharisees that they despised others. They looked at others as those who had done worse than themselves. They kept themselves on a higher plane. Now, as far as man judging man is concerned, we know there are differences as to man's expression of sin. There are some who are moral, some who are immoral. But what we have to do in considering this is to realize that we're dealing with God, and that it is God with whom we have to be justified. You notice the Pharisee is also put before us here as a praying man. But alas, he is found here not as a suppliant, not as one who feels a need and is beseeching God for something, He is here more in the character of an informer, seeking to inform God of his own righteousness. And can you imagine? He thanks God that he's not like other men. Oh, alas, how deluded he is, how self-deceived, not realizing his own heart as God sees it to be. And then further, he proceeds to tell God what he does. He says he fasts twice in a week, and he gave tithes of all that he possessed. He's taken up with himself. But this, we will notice, the Lord sweeps away as any ground for justification, because the Bible tells us that it's not by works, not by what we do, that we are made just with God. Then he turns our attention to the Pharisee, or the publican, rather. And the publican is seen here standing afar off, one who is manifesting true humility. He is not pushing himself at all. He hesitates to draw nigh. And furthermore, he would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. Shame has filled his breast in regards to his sin, which he knows to be true. He has sinned, and he realizes it. He would not lift up his eyes so much as to heaven. He knows he does not deserve one blessing. And furthermore, he smites his breast. Ah, there, in repentance, he owns where the trouble lay, in his own heart, smiting his breast, confessing, as it were, right here is the seat of my trouble. But then, fourthly, we notice that in faith, he says, God be merciful to me, the sinner. God be merciful to me, the sinner. What a contrast to the Pharisee. And the Lord draws attention to this, and he says, I tell you, this man, that is referring to the publican, went down to his house justified. Think of it. The Lord, the infallible judge, is pronouncing here. Certainly he is the one who is to decree who is justified and who is not. And he does. This man who said, God be merciful to me, the sinner, is the one of whom Jesus said, this man went down to his house justified. And then, to emphasize how one is not justified, he adds, rather than the other, referring to the Pharisee who trusted in his own self and in his own works and his own deeds. And then Jesus said, everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now that's the parable that the Lord gives in his own words. Now, I should like to turn you to a few scriptures which give us the Bible teaching of justification in the doctrine presented through the writers of the epistles, and also a verse from the book of Acts. To begin with, I would ask you to turn, if you have your Bibles, to the book of Romans in chapter 5. The first thing that we would seek to bring before us in this subject is that God who justifies does it on a righteous basis, such as we've had brought before us already in the reading of the word and in the singing of the hymn. In verse 9 we read, much more than being now justified by his blood. It's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ which forms the basis of God saying to a sinner that's proven guilty, you're not guilty, you're cleared from every guilt and sin. The blood of Christ alone could affect this. There was no other way that God could be appeased in regards to the question of sin. And the blood of Christ has propitiated, has satisfied his every righteous claim in regards to sin. And it's on that basis that God gives justification to the sinner. Now, in the fourth chapter of Romans, and in verse 25, we have the seal of the justification. We read, "Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. The one who died and shed his blood is no longer in the grave. He is a living Savior. And the resurrection of Christ is the seal of our justification." This could be rightly read, "He was raised again because of our justification." That is, the payment was made in the giving of his blood, and God sealed it to be sure and to be true in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, in a raised Savior, we see the receipt that the debt has been paid. Now, how can God do this? What is the principle on which he works? Go back, if you will, to the third chapter. Notice this marvelous verse in verse 24. "Being now justified by his grace." Grace is the principle upon which God deals with the sinner. Grace is what the publican was shut up to. Grace is what the Pharisee was despising. The Pharisee would seek to approach God on the basis of his own merit. But grace is God's favor shown to those that deserve his judgment. And it is only on the principle of grace that men are justified. "Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be," are the words of the poet. "And all that we have and are, we owe to the grace of God. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." In the same verse, we also see the manner in which we're justified. It says, "Freely." Being justified freely. What a God we have. One who freely gives. He's a giving God. He's a gracious God. He loves to give. How freely he has given. "He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" So the principle on which a man is justified is the principle of grace. God's favor to those that deserve his judgment. But now, how is this obtained? What is the means of receiving this? Turning over to chapter 4 in the book of Romans, verse 5, we read these words, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." His faith is counted for righteousness. Here, works are put in contrast to faith. And in regards to salvation, works have absolutely no part at all in the justification of a sinner. We could not have it stated any clearer than what we have here. "To him that worketh not," the scripture says, "but believeth." Not of works, the scripture says. Salvation is free. And the means of you procuring it is by faith. Faith is what? It's believing God. It's taking God at his word. It's believing that you are that ungodly sinner, that you are in need of mercy, that you repent, that you believe that Jesus shed his blood at Calvary for you, that he was raised again for you, that it was all on the principle of grace. You didn't deserve it. And this is faith receiving God's justification. It says here, "To him that worketh not, but believeth on him," not just simply about him, but it is coming to him and receiving him for your very own need, putting yourself in his hand and trusting him to save you, to justify you. He justifies the ungodly. His faith is counted for righteousness. It was the faith of the publican that caused the Lord to say, this man went down to his house justified, rather than the other. The Pharisee had not faith in God. He had faith in himself. So it's not of works, it's of faith. And you'll notice here, works do have a place, I might just say here, but they follow after. We who are saved by faith and justified by faith are saved to do works. We are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, but we are not justified by doing them. We cannot work our soul to save. That our Lord hath done. But we can work like any slave in love for God's own Son, and their works have their proper place. But in the justification of the sinner, it is to him that worketh not. Now turning to the scripture in Acts chapter 13, we see the extent to which justification applies. Be it known unto you, verse 38, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. What a wonderful word this is. Be it known unto you, Jesus said, I tell you, I say unto you, and this is his word to you, that if you will believe him, accept him and his work for you, calling upon him for mercy, saying, O God, be propitiated to me, the sinner. Let thy blood, Lord, avail for me. By him all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. So here is the extent of justification. Every sin gone, all guilt cleared away, one has a clean slate with God through the virtue of the finished work of Christ. Now, one more point, and that is the result of being justified. We read in Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Does my listener have this peace? This is a result. Being justified with God through the blood of Christ, by grace on the principle of faith, you can have this peace now. Will you have it? God wants you to have it. He would speak to you that you might have it. We trust that you have heard his voice today in the Word, and that you will not turn a deaf ear to it. Has the voice of Jesus sounded? Oh, give ear, dear friend, and grant that today you will believe on him who died for you and rose again, and be justified and have peace with God.